All right. If you have your Bible, say amen. We are in our school of prayers today. And if you remember, last time we began our teaching, the series I titled Elements in Prayer. And I want to continue from there today. Well, we'll read two texts today. First of all, from the book of Matthew chapter 6. I think that was the one we read last time. If not, something similar to that. The book of Matthew chapter 6. Now, he was teaching them how to pray as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just start from verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father. Everybody says your Father. Say your Father. Everybody say your Father. He said, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is being done. No, that's not what he said. As it is written. We often think he's saying as it is being done. Thy will be done on earth as it is written or recorded in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's read one more. The book of James, chapter 5. The book of James, chapter 5. Now, this one I refer to a lot of times, and I often make a joke around here when I'm talking about it. It says from verse 13, is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith, this is New American Standard, if you read the King James or the New King James, it says, for the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick. That is, the word is prayer of faith. Let me continue American Standard. It said, will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer, or the effectual fervent prayer, or the effectual heartfelt prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. He now described Elijah as an example. He said in verse 17, he was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and you know the rest of the story. All right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's continue our teaching on the elements of prayer. And last time I talked about the praise of God. That's what I emphasized on, the matter of the praise of God. And then when we're reading from that Matthew chapter 6, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let me just review for a few minutes what I said. We also read from the book of Hebrews where he says that he that comes to God, chapter 11, must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who seek him. Or King James says, diligently seek him. And I explained that when he says he must believe that he is, he can't possibly be saying that he must believe that he exists, because if that was the case, he wouldn't have come to prayer at all. Are you getting my point? So he was saying that he must believe something about God. And I refer to what God said to Moses. Moses said, what's your name? He said, I am. He said, who should I say sent me? He said, he is. Are you getting the point? He said, who should I say sent me? He said, he is sent me. That is, this is the way it is. There is something, Miles Monroe said, is a completion of that name each time. And it's dependent on the kind of situation that somebody is in. So it can be the bread that came down from heaven. That is, he is the bread that came down from heaven. It can be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. It can be the Lord, the all-sufficient one. That is, he is something each time. Are you getting my point? And I said, every circumstance you encounter in life, God bears a name. And when we're talking about praising God, in fact, I remember I said different things about worship. All right? I remember I said different things about worship. And if we're talking about praising God, I specifically emphasize that praising God means that we are speaking or we are calling God by the name that he bears in that circumstance. For example, God, we proudly say, I am God, the one that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. That's the name that he bears. Are you getting my point? He says, I am God and there is none else. That is the God beside whom there is no other God. That's a very powerful name also. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what he is, all right? He's the one that leads me. He's the one that gives me direction. So that's another name. So when we call God by his name in any circumstance, that's what we call the praise of God. Don't ever forget that, all right? And I say sometimes, because like you said in the book of Hebrews, he that comes to God must believe that he is. That is, if you are praying about something, you must know what God says he is about that situation. Are you getting my point? That sometimes we come and we are worshiping, all right, God, of course, praising him that he created Jupiter. Meanwhile, the absence of Jupiter is not currently your problem. It's good. Actually, it's good to make a habit of praising God all the time, even if there's nothing. Are you getting my point? But if you are coming to God for something specific, you should remember to call him by the name that he bears in that situation. Do you follow what I'm going to explain there? All right. So that's what we said last time. All right. So I want to continue still talking about that name of God in that Matthew chapter 6. It's our Father who art in heaven. All right. Hallowed be thy name. Last time I emphasized on that hallowed be thy name thing. Today I want to emphasize on the fact that he said our Father who art in heaven. Let me just point something out there again before we continue speaking. He said that your Father knows, you know, he was talking about repetition, that don't bother using vain repetitions because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And what I want to say, what I want to emphasize is the fact that he said your Father. In verse 6, he said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. Your Father is what I want to emphasize, who is in secret. You see, the word Father is used several times there. Your Father, that's twice in verse 6. And then in verse 7, he says, in verse 8, he says, your Father knows. And then he says, when you want to pray, start like this, our Father. That is, you see, he has mentioned the name Father now like four times in that short-term context, all right? Now, what I'm trying to bring up from there is the fact that he's emphasizing on that name, Father, all right? We're talking about hallowed be thy name. And Jesus was making him known. In fact, he said that this is a new name by which he's making God known. Before now, nobody knew God as Father. He said, I have made your name known to them. That's the name Father was what he introduced. Now, when I was talking to my wife today, I make the joke. All right, I think she was washing something in the bathroom. I just walked in. I said, our computer who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. She said, what is that? You hear what I said? I said, what? Our computer who art in heaven. She said, what is that? I said, that's what I'm going to preach this evening. Now, why did I say that? I kind of was thinking about it. Now, there's a reason why I made that joke, and that's all I want to talk about today as a matter of elements in prayer. Before I talk about why I say our computer who art in heaven, listen to this. I say it all the time, the prayer of faith. What's the prayer of faith? All right? When we often, in the Word of Faith movement, when we talk about what prayer of faith, we say that there's a prayer of faith. Generally, it is taught as if it's a prayer you pray once, you don't repeat, you believe you have received, and that's the end of it, start confessing. Of course, that's not what it really means in the context from where it was taken. That's James chapter 5. He said Elijah was a man who prayed that prayer of faith, and you see, when he prayed that rain should come, he didn't come pray once. He told his servant, be looking, you know, at the come, and he kept on praying. All right, so the fact that you mentioned it only once, I never repeated it to God, it doesn't make it a prayer of faith. Is that okay? Now, what makes something a prayer of faith? So, when we're talking about that, we talk as if there's a prayer of faith, there's a prayer of intercession, there's a prayer of thanksgiving, there's a prayer of petition, there's a prayer of binding and loosing, there's a prayer of agreement, and there's a prayer of faith. Let me tell you the truth. Let me just waste time about that. All those things we mentioned are all prayers of faith. All right? Because if you say this is a prayer of faith, the rest are all prayers of unbelief. Do you get my point? But that's not what they are. A prayer of binding and losing is a prayer of faith. A prayer of praise and worship is a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of thanksgiving is a prayer of faith. A prayer of intercession is a prayer of faith. What is a prayer of faith? Before I talk about prayer of faith again, let me tell us the opposite of the prayer of faith. There are many opposites, which generally consider the prayer of unbelief. There's a prayer, you know, I have different words for it. You've heard me say several times. There's a prayer of habit. All right? That is, since I was a child, we prayed every morning by 6 a.m. So now, whether I believe in God or not, once it's 6 a.m., I will continue to pray. Now I'm 30 years old. Since I was a child, we have always prayed by 6 a.m. Do you understand my point? I was listening to Kenny Hagin teach today, and something that really made me laugh. He said, there was one man he knew. There's a song they used to sing in their church. He said, we can drill through the heaviest mountain. We can pass through the heaviest valley. In the name of Jesus, we can do everything. And so they'll be singing that song, that the man loved the song so much. And then one day he entered the man's house, and the man's wife said to him that, Junior needs a new pair of shoes. And the man shouted, he said, do you think I'm made of money? And he told him, he said, what? This is a man who can drill through a mountain and pass through the deepest valley and then stumble over a pair of shoes that a little boy needs. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Now, oftentimes we say one thing and we behave in another fashion. That's what I'm going to explain. You understand? I read a joke many years ago. Somebody said, a young man was praying. He said, our Father who art in heaven. And our Father answered him and said, yes, my son, what can I do for you? And he said, please don't interrupt. I'm saying my prayers. Do you understand? I mean, you call somebody, he answered, he said, please don't disturb me. I'm just trying to say my prayers. That's what I call the prayer of habit. Are you getting my point? It's not, you're not expecting anything. Do you get my point? I mean, you pray 5 times a day like Muslims pray. I mean, you know, Muslims don't expect anything from those prayers. Allah, that's not supposed to be an insult. You can ask any Muslim. It's just supposed to be something I just do so that Allah no go vex at yourself. Uh-huh. You know, so it's not expecting anything from it. It's not expecting anything, all right? It's just a prayer of habit, all right? What the Bible calls rote worship. They just repeat the thing because it's what they've been taught all their lives to do. That's a prayer of habit. I'm not discussing that in detail. I'm talking about prayer of faith. There's a prayer of show. Yes. I have to show them I'm spiritual. Do you understand? That's what the Pharisees used to do. They make a show. If you go there, in that Matthew chapter 5, you see that's what the Pharisees used to do. Don't bother opening to it. In verse 5, he said, when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites. So a prayer of show is a prayer of hypocrisy. Do you understand that? He said, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. That's the prayer of show. We often do it. You give somebody a microphone, and we do it a lot in church. I remember one brother in that book, my LCC, he told the story in there, Brother Peter. It's the first time he started staying with my friend, Chooks. And my friend Chooks and I, in fact, then I think I was like the president of the fellowship, but Chooks and I were big boys in fellowship, you know, those days, you know what I'm saying? I think I was the president. My friend Chooks was in the executive with me. And this young brother, new student, came to stay with this senior brother in fellowship. So one day they wanted to eat. They told him to bless the food. So the guy started trying to impress the big bro. You understand? Father, we thank you for rain. They wanted to eat, you know, a gari with soup. He thanked God for the rain that fell upon the cassava in the farm. God is my witness, I'm not joking. He blessed God for the farmer, for the transportation company that moved the cassava out of the farm into the mill. Look, he thanked God for the sun that shone on the leaves. He thanks God for the father of the people present who brought the money to allow their children to eat while they're in school. He kept on thanking God, and my friend was looking at him like, when will this prayer come to an end? I can't remember exactly how my guy responded, but that was the last time he allowed him to pray over any food in that room. And the guy acknowledged that, why did I do all of that? I was trying to impress the senior guy I was staying with that I knew how to pray. Do you understand? Meanwhile, if he had allowed the senior guy to pray first, I know my friend very well, Chooks, he and I used to pray the same manner. Just like Jesus Christ. We used to give thanks. For the food you have given us, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we start eating. That's prayer of sincerity. Not trying to impress anybody. So there's a prayer of show. That's what I'm going to explain. Alright? Then there's a prayer of copycat. You know what I said all the time? The prayer of imitation. this is how this person prays. And that prayer of shame, we do it a lot in churches, by the way. They give somebody a microphone. And so God that dwelleth in light unapproachable, today thy children have congregated, as it were, in thy presence, thy most holy presence, which the devil cannot come near. Oh, my Father. I pray that Christians will be very real. After they stop healing God, he doesn't like to be healed. It's not a mafia done. It's not an allergy. He's a politician. And then they heal him. Baba, he heard the swell. Once he hears swell, it will begin rain blessing. He does not need healing. Amen? Let's let that one there. So that's the prayer of you. I just wanted to add that one to it. So I was talking about prayer of imitation. That one is what we do when we feel like this is how this person said it. So that's to be the way it should be said. Do you follow? I remember I was listening to one man of God. He said they called him to come and pray for a child that was convulsing. And according to him, he said everything he ever heard anybody else say. That is, what are they saying? That's what I am going to say. That's what I call the prayer of imitation. There are all kinds of prayers. There's a prayer of desperation. I don't know what else to say. That one works sometimes, actually. All right? But that's another one. It's a prayer of desperation. Now, I've put all of these things together as examples of the opposite of the prayer of faith. Now, what is a prayer of faith? All right? You know, we're talking about that first line, our Father. I'm focusing on the word, our Father. Because Jesus emphasized the word, our Father. That's what I want to talk about. Now, he's still talking about it. Let me say this again quickly. The matter of prayer is a matter of attitude. What makes something a prayer of faith is the reason why the person is saying the prayer. Is the understanding behind why the person is saying the prayer. Now, let me go back quickly into that thing I said about our computer who was in heaven. Can you remember it? Yes. I said that because that's how we treat God a lot of times. We treat him as if he does not think. He only operates by formulas. I don't know whether I get my point. He doesn't think. There are formulas by which he operates. If you say the wrong word first, do you understand? If you don't have three scriptures to quote before you say anything, he won't listen. Because the password into his operating system is one or two scriptures. So if you have not keyed those things in, he doesn't listen. If you do not enter his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, he does not hear. Do you get the point I'm making? Yes. So we have all those things, and like some other will say, if you want to come and pray about finances and you don't have seed in the ground, the computer does not respond. That's what I'm talking about, our computer who art in heaven. That's the way we treat him. We treat the matter of prayer, see, it's just a matter of talk. You're trying to prime the computer and press the correct keys, and it pulls results based on how good your programming skills spiritually, how good they are. But that's not what it is. Jesus used the word prayer and Father, talking about the matter of prayer, because this way is supposed to be. It's supposed to be on, listen to this, relationship, trust, understanding. You are getting what I'm going to explain? That's just what it is about. You know, I have children, and they've taught me a lot about how God reads. In fact, when I got married, I understood a lot of things. When I started having children, I understood some more. Are you getting my point? Yes, I began to understand a lot of things, all right? And just thinking about my kids, my second son, Benga, is very fond of that, you know? And maybe I'm lying down in the sitting room, just reclining on the chair and watching news or something. And he wants to come and ask you something. He does not, there's no nicety about it. He just walks up, cross literally, and lies down your chest. And then moves over close to your ear, that, Daddy, can I go and take this? That's it. Now, if he misbehaves, I discipline him very well. Do you understand? And that's something I've noticed about God. Well, it taught me about God also. God can discipline his children. It doesn't mean he doesn't love them. Do you get my point? I can finish disciplining my son maybe like 30 minutes ago for hitting his sister. And I've told him, don't ever hit your sister. if he does anything that offends you, go and report. So after he has served a small punishment for not reporting but physically retaliating, he now needs, maybe he sees a pack of biscuits on the table. And the law in the house is you don't take it unless somebody says so. So he crawls up, I'm lying down there watching TV on the chair. He just gently climbs, lies on your chest, and whispers in your ears, "Daddy, can I take that biscuit?" I'm bringing up an issue here. It's a matter of what? Our Father. Are you getting my point? It's a matter of our Father. There's no key, there's no... How do I explain it to? There's no priming. What matters is that he knows, and that's where faith is, that's the prayer of faith. He knows that I have authority over the biscuit. He knows that I have authority in the home concerning who can take and who can't take. And he recognizes that the word concerns the motions, all right, of that biscuit according to Newtonian first law, all right, because every biscuit remains in a state of rest. Do you understand what I'm going to say? He knows that the only external force that can act upon that thing to do otherwise without any dire consequences following it is if I issue forth that word. Do you get my point? Therefore, he comes and says nicely, "Daddy," I said, "can I take the biscuit?" Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That's the concept of our Father. It is not about pressing keys. Oh, I pray you get the point. Faith, I said to you before, we're going to go on to it, maybe later as we go on today. We're going to talk about a prayer of faith. And then when James also talked about a double-minded man, I'll explain that one further. Because oftentimes we think faith, I've discussed that about the habit of faith several times, in different messages here. Faith is not the fact that I am able to be stubborn. I no go doubt. I was listening to Sam Adeyemi teach on TV, I think it was yesterday. And he was talking about courage. And he said that courage is not the absence of fear, but that courage is the ability to act despite the fear. Do you understand the point? That courage does not mean you are not afraid. Courage is that you can act even though you are afraid. He was teaching about courage as part of the keys to success. Now, what am I trying to say? What we call faith, all right, we often think it means that there is no shadow of doubt in my mind concerning what is going on. I'm not afraid. I'm not concerned. Nothing. So if it looks like something wants to trouble me, I feel like I'm not in faith. That's not what faith is. I've said it all the time. What faith means is that, okay, now that, I mean, it's like my son comes to ask for a biscuit. He can say, now that I'm hungry, it means I cannot desire a biscuit. You get my point? That's the way we behave, all right? No. What it means is that when I'm hungry, I know where to go and ask for permission to take what I'm going to eat. Not even hunger. Once I'm desirous, I know where to go. I know the person to ask so that my desire can be fulfilled. Do you get my point? Faith does not mean I'm just not a fear. Nothing. No. Faith means that if I have cause for fear, I know where to go and solve the problem of fear. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Faith means that if I'm concerned about something, I know where to go and solve the problem that is causing my heart to be troubled. Faith means that I recognize that he that comes to God must believe that he is. Remember that? I recognize that our Father is the one that is in charge. Do you get my point? That I don't pray out of habit. You know, my wife called me. I called her. You know, she's not around now. She went for a class. She called me. I called her, actually, when I got home. Asked where she was. She said she was in the class. But now told me some things that were up and all of that. It was disturbing her a bit. I just said, "Look, listen, leave that one to me." It didn't really annoy me. It was something that had to do with the institutions and all of that. All right. So it so upset me. I almost couldn't calm myself down to come and preach. You understand? So what did I do? I just started pacing up and down. I just simply sat down and said, "Lord, you know, I have to get myself ready to come and teach this evening. So let's quickly settle this one first." I itemized everything which I consider the problem. I told him what I really love to do. I think the one he may not want me to do, and though I would still like to do it, and I told him what I think I should do. And whatever it is, I told him what I don't want to happen, what I want to happen. I itemized them bit by bit like that. The whole prayer must not have taken more than 5 minutes. And I left it there and I said, "Lord, now let me put my mind back on my message for this evening." Thinking about it now, I can't remember the scripture I quoted to introduce the prayer. No. I don't know whether you get my point. It's a matter of our Father. This is the solution to my problem. And he said something here. He said that your Father knows that you need these things before you ask him. I'm going to emphasize something. Because we often treat the matter of prayer as if, you know, there are certain keys we use. Do you follow my point? Now, just to digress again, you digress here and there. And I'm talking about how to hear the voice of God and know the will of God. I said, we often talk as if God does not want people to hear it. And they say, you have to try and live with practice hearing the voice of God. And that, you know the reason why I lost that money is because God was speaking, you did not hear. I tell people that, no, it doesn't work like that. You see, if my friend, do you get my point, is in trouble, and I'm talking, he doesn't want to hear, I will compel him to do that which is right. I don't know whether you're getting my point, all right? If you're sitting there, you're about to fall, and I'm shouting, you're not hearing me, and I can reach where you are, I will jump and grab you. No, be so. That's just the way it is. You know, it's not just about keys. We must realize that we are dealing with a living, breathing person who has all, if you add all the intelligences in people's brains worldwide together, they are too small compared to the one, all right, that he operates by. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your life inside out. He knows what you want more than you know it. Do you get my point? You know, I mean, two of the boys came and said, Grant, I will sit on the left and the right. They said, guys, you don't know what you are talking about. Do you get my point? There are times, that's people tell me something like that. God does not ever say no. The reason why is because, you know, if God ever appears to say no, it is because we don't know the correct keys. You know, I was talking with my wife this morning, you know, about something like that I heard before. Somebody was saying that the will of God is not, some people say that they are failing in business because God does not want them to do business. That God is never like that. If you know that the will of God is the method of doing the business. I told my wife, that's true. There's a part of it that the will of God is in the how, but there's a will of God in what. The person was saying that God doesn't care whether you are dealing in books or you're dealing in handkerchief. I said to my wife, no, God cares. He cares. He does have the will. Should I sell books or sell handkerchiefs? He has something to say about that. Are you getting my point? That you see, God is not just, it doesn't matter. Once you have the correct methods and correct keys, I said, no, he's living. He thinks. Do you get my point? He thinks. He knows about you. He knows your life. Your life is not an accident. He said he knows you need those things before you ask him. He knows what you need. People say that if you have the correct keys, he does not ever say no. I say it's not true. And I can give you several examples in the Bible where he told the people straight. They had the key. They had everything. They were talking to him direct. And he said the answer is no. You have to go over it. You know the examples too. Moses begged. He said, Moses, if you bring that matter up for me, while I go gas. So you bring it up before me again. Moses, he said, Moses, you are not entering the promised land. Moses begged. God said, no, you are not entering. Moses begged again. He said, don't bring up the matter. Again, that was what? How else do you spell no? How else do you spell no? He told Jeremiah, don't ask for anything for yourself. The only thing I'm going to give you, I will give you your life as a booty. Mom, don't ask for land. Don't ask for shoes. Don't ask for clothes. I'll give you your life. That's all. He says no. Are we no longer in a matter of father-son, all right, relationship? If I can tell my child no, why can't God tell me no? Are you telling me that all my requests are pure and God says yes, whether they are pure or not? Are you saying everything I ask God for is good for me and God doesn't care whether it's good for me or not? If I ask him, he'll give it to me? Listen, brethren, God says no. And one of the problems my wife currently has with my smallest boy in the house is that he still does not understand the meaning of the word no. Can I play game on your phone? Mother will say no. Can I play game on your phone? Mother says no. The boy will hold the phone and say, I want to play game on your phone. Mama said, you don't seem to understand me of the word no. So what am I going to explain? God does say no. He does. Not because of wickedness or inability. Do you get my point? It is not because he doesn't want you to have that which is good for you, or because he does not know how to go about providing it, but because sometimes he just determines that is not good for you, is not in line with his purpose for your life, or the time is absolutely not ripe, so forget the matter. We'll discuss this matter later. Why? Because his name is what? Our Father. That's what I'm going to talk about. Jesus used the word our Father for you to know that you are dealing with a living person who is personally related to you. I was saying something earlier. The matter of prayer is a matter of attitude, it's a matter of understanding. A prayer of faith is a result of these things that we are discussing. That is this kind of understanding about God. That's what a prayer of faith is. Let me just say this. All right? I've taught it here and there also before. One of the greatest attributes any human being, especially a believer, should have in life is that of sincerity. I'm not talking about telling the truth alone now, like saying, hey, who took it? It is me. It is not me. Hey, there were three pieces of meat inside that plate of rice. Now, finding only one. Who ate the two? You understand? It is me. It is not me. That's not what I'm talking about. Sincerity, what I mean is that for you to really accept, that is, be open to yourself and know why you are saying what you are saying, why you are behaving the way you are behaving, why you are talking, why you are not talking. Let me give practical example. There's one example I use all the time. All right? A young man has a rich brother who is not a believer and is always praying for the salvation of his brother. He doesn't have parents anymore. This is just a person that's like his parent. And the person treats him like these Christians. Don't mind him. He's not serious. And he knows if this guy is saved, I will have more money. Are you getting my point? So day and night he's praying. God, save my brother. God says, see, Lord, stop all this salvation prayer. It is not as if I can't save people. It is that you are not asking for salvation. You are not asking for salvation for your brother. You are asking for money for yourself. Do you get my point? Listen. I said sincerity. If you can be sincere, you know the interesting thing about God, about our life as Christians, as it has to do with God, is that whether you say it or not, he knows. But he can't do anything except you say it. I mean, Jesus said, your Father knows that you need them. Why did he say, when you pray, ask like this? He knows you need them, then let us agree. Because there was a man, obviously totally blind, and was shouting, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Lord still wasted all the precious time in the world asking, what do you want me to do for you? That's what you will think. It's a waste of time. Is he not obviously blind? No. That question is valid because you're not sure. He may have had a stomach ache. You can see it. You can see his blindness. He may have been shouting, have mercy on me. The last offering you sent, Judas didn't let it arrive. Do you understand what I'm explaining? What is asking for mercy for? Let's just be clear about it. What do you want me to do? He said, I want to see. He said, fine, we cannot tackle it. Don't say it is obvious. You are getting the point I'm making. I said, a prayer of faith is an understanding of these facts about our relationship with God. Whether you say the thing or not, he knows. But he can't do anything until you come. Now, okay, one of the things he does is to bring you to the level where you yourself will know. And then you must acknowledge it before he can move on your behalf. That's why when you are praying, try your best. Don't be insincere. Because he knows. Lord, the reason why I just had to behave like that was that what he did was not right. God said, shut up. The reason why you behave like that is that your pride was hot. That's it. Don't give me an explanation or, no, I had to put him in his proper place. He never can tell because of the young children around. Let's set a correct example. God said, my friend, stop all of this thing. You're a proud man. And the way that man talked to you, it hurt your pride deeply. And you responded so as to put your ego back in place. You can have many reasons. You know, this is one of the commonest jokes young babies mentally now crack before God. The reason I'm praying for all this money is that, you know, that way now, at least, I'll be able to give more offering to your gospel. Please, that's an insult. Yes, we like to insult God with it. That God, you see, this job now, they are paying so much. This one, the money is less. If you just give me more, you know, that way I will be able to, God, say, listen, let's face it. That's not the reason why you are asking for what you're asking. And don't even try to appear nicer than you really are.